The just one thing that I neglected to mention at the end of the last shiur, an interesting kiddush in the Rav. Remember, the Rav understood that we left off with the fact that Hallel was a fundamental part of the obligation of the mitzvah of Arba Minim, of Lulav. Therefore, there was an afkamina that apparently the Brisker tradition, the Rav's family, used to very makpid to say the bracha on Lulav and Esrog, to say on Tehillas Lulav right before Hallel. They didn't want to have to, well, unlike many people who say a bracha on Lulav in the morning before they go to shul, then take it to shul and then say Hallel, which is fine if Hallel was not the ikker part of the mitzvah of lulav. So say you said the bracha, you shuk the lulav, and then you say hallel later. The Rav understood that no, the ikker is hallel. The whole point of lulav is hallel, and therefore the Rav was very makbid, and apparently so was the entire Brisker tradition, to say the bracha on lulav right before hallel, so there'll be no hefzik between the bracha and the most important part, the ikker of the kiyum of lulav.
That's where it's printed in the Sidurim also.
And that's where it's printed in the Sidurim also. Although many people, especially based on the Indian from the Ari, that you should, there's a Masor from the Ari, that you should shake the lulav daft in the sukkah, which we'll see why next week, Mirtz Hashem. So therefore, there's no sukkah in the middle of the davening, so they say the bracha at home first. But the Rav was, I don't think he had anything against that Masor from the Ari, he just thought it was more important to make the bracha right before Hallel. Okay, a small issue, which one could get into, but I don't want to get into too much, is just the definition of Yavesh is a big machlokas. We've shown him here, as we noticed, that's the second half of Tosos, right? We spent all last year on the first half of Tosos, the Ramas Lulav. Second half of Tosos, the Ramas Lulav, tries to figure out what is the gedder of Yavesh. And says Tosos, the most obvious parallel, right? There are different sugyas of Yaveshos and Shas. Right, Tosos points to a sugya in Chulin and Bechoros about the Yavesh Ozen Bechor, right? If Lav Dafka Bechor, just means if an animal's ear dries up, it's a mum. How dry counts as a mum? And the word in Chulin compares that to Yav Shahareya, if the lung of an animal dries up, that's a treif. That's treifa. It's obviously an ear or a lung of an animal is not exactly the same as a tree branch. So Tosos knows, right? He says, V'hai Yavesh Docha Ein Lefarish. Right, his aim of farish means that's the first thing you would be mafarish, just he has a problem. The obvious comparison is Maseches Avodah Zarah, right? Your compare plants to plants, is to the Chartzan and the Zagin, right? The refuse, the grape skins, etc., left over from pressing wine. So if the guy pressed wine, it is Stam Yena, what we call Yayin Esach. It's treif. How about the grape skins? So as long as they have wine in them, they're treif. If all the wine disappears, then they're kosher, because there's no zero diagonese on grape skins, only on wine. So the Gemara says, when they're moist, they're treif. When they're dry, they become kosher. And what's the getter of dry for grape skins? The Gemara says after 12 months, they're dry. So that's a good comparison. Grape skins and palm branches might be similar. So after 12 months. So Tosos obviously is having to say 12 months. He just has a problem with it, which is, the Gemara later in Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph says, if you have a hadas and most of the leaves are dry, but there are moist leaves, then it's okay. So what do we see? There's such a metzios as a hadas, which some of the leaves are dry and some of the leaves are moist. Then the gedder can't be 12 months. If it's 12 months, you chop the hadas off the bush. Either all the leaves have been 12 months since they've been chopped off the bush, or none of the leaves have been 12 months. You can't have some of the leaves which are 12 months old and some of the leaves less than 12 months old. They're all the same age. Therefore, Tosfos rejects this and says it has to be some physical sign. It can't be on the calendar, because then the same hadas couldn't be half the leaves, lach and half the leaves. Yavesh, it must be a physical sign. What physical sign? So Tosfos picks the physical sign based on the Shita of Yossi ben HaMeshulam, when it comes to the Ozen Bechor, which is also the Shita we use in Trefos in Masech HaSchulin, Nifreches B'tziporen, right? You scratch it with your fingernail and it crumbles, right? When things are very, very, very dry, right, they crumble to the touch, or at least to the touch with a tiny, tiny bit of pressure. So that's what Tosos thinks the Gedder of Yavesh is. What's the Gedder of Yavesh? says, says, Tosos nefreches b'tzipor. There are many other opinions as well, as we know, the Ravid and probably most Rishonim say, what's the getter? Exactly, right? The Ravid says, don't compare it to this Ozen Bechor, etc. Those are animals, and these are tree branches. Tree branches, what's the getter of Yabashis for a tree branch, says the Ravid? Don't compare it to anything else. We don't have other tree branches in Shas. Just figure out, Misvara, what's the getter of Yabashis by tree branches? So as we all know, the getter of Yabashis by a tree. When it dries out, it's Yabash. How do you know it's dry? When it loses its greenness and turns white. If you go down to the Smedrash and look, on top of the Aron, you'll see a lot of Lulavim, which are pretty white, because they dried out.
Are they what the Ravid was talking about, though?
They're awfully close. I saw a tiny bit of green in them, but they're awfully close. You know, give it another few weeks, and they probably will be. Although, time will tell. So he says, right, Misha Yalbinu Penehem. That is a Yavesh. And this, the Ravid, and the Ritva, and the Ran, and I think most Rishonim agree. It's always hard to know how to count, but I think most Rishonim agree. The Ritva and the Ran totally agree to this gender. That's the Psak to the Machaber as well. It just, you know, it seems to make a lot of common sense. The Rush also quotes the Balamora saying when it loses its moisture, but he doesn't say if that's exactly supposed to be the same as the Ravid, different from the Ravid, maybe means the same as the Ravid. The Me'iri has another interesting pshat. Says the Me'iri, what does the Me'iri say the getter of Yavashus is?
Fold it and it'll break.
If you fold it in half, it'll break. You know when things dry out, right? Even paper, right? Normal paper, you can fold it in half. You have very old, brittle paper. If you fold it in half, it breaks. The Lulavim downstairs, they're almost white or white. If you fold it in half, they totally don't break, right? That's a more makel. So he says, Koflin oso v'nishvar.
But you don't think they'll break?
I tried. They didn't break. They're not brittle. They're not brittle. They're just dry. Even after a year, if you fold them, they won't break.
For time,
really? No, but do you mamash fold them in half?
No, but when you make the knots, you have to.
Okay. Efsher. Okay, that's a big kula. The Ravid, actually, if you look in, interestingly, all the Rishonim, the Tosfos just says, don't say it's 12 months. And some of the other Rishonim, the Ran and the Ritva, and the Meiri say, well, Yeshomer, it's 12 months, but we don't paskin that way. Okay, does anyone actually paskin this year as 12 months? So interestingly, the Ravid in the Hilchas Lulav, everyone quotes the Ravid as the mucker of the Shita of turning white. But if you look inside, in the Ravid in the Hilchas Lulav, he says that. Many, many paragraphs he proves that's absolutely true. And then at the last minute, he had an about face and changed his mind. He says, but you know, I'm still not sure exactly why. He says, this is very tough. One guy's going to judge it this way. The other guy's going to judge it this way. We'd rather have a simple rule. And so he says, the Ravid in the Hilchas Lulav says in the end of that discussion, he says, you know, it would be better if we had a simple rule. And look, here I found this case in Avodah Zarah of the grape skins of the Goyim, and we see that it's plant material also, just like a lulav. Obviously, it's not a branch like a lulav, but it's a plant like a lulav. And the shear is 12 months, so he says it must be the shear is 12 months, and he changes his mind and goes back to 12 months. It's not clear what he does with, well, he doesn't explicitly relate to Tosfos' objection. If it's 12 months, then how could there be a case of a hadas where some of the leaves are dry and some aren't dry? That seems to be his maskana. It's strange. The Rishonim don't quote this. So I don't know. Maybe he added this later. It's certainly even to me. I don't know. Maybe you have to check. Maybe with Kafach has very nice footnotes. See if he has any oros. But at the end, the Ravid, maybe he holds the same thing. That was not clear to me. Does he think in 12 months it turns white? And really just saying the same thing or not? So is he really changing his mind or is he just adding to it? Is not 100% clear to me. Adrabah, the Ravid, says a nice thing. He says, how do we know it turns white? Because the Yerushalmi says, Lo Mesim Hallelujah. And it means the shear is death. And how do you know when something's dead? Okay, when someone dies, they turn white.
What happens if you leave it in water?
So that's an interesting thing. Says the Ravid explicitly, he says, 12 months. He says, when it comes to the, he says explicitly 12 months. But he says 12 months is only if you don't do anything to preserve it. Right before 12 months if you let it sit there by its own. Obviously, if you preserve it, if you keep it moist, then it'll be more than 12 months, and then there's no way we can give an exact measurement. So 12 months is if you don't keep it moist. He says that mefurish. Otherwise, I don't know, maybe you could preserve it longer. That I don't know how well, it'll, I don't know if we ever tried it. I mean, obviously it preserves a little longer, but maybe at some point it'll rot or something. Anyway, he says 12 months unless you preserve it. He believes you can preserve it. Maybe he thinks somehow that the case of the hadas is a funny case, where you like put some of the leaves in like moist towels and not the others, and that's how some of them can be moist, not the others. Maybe somehow that's answering Tosis's question that, how can you have a hadas where some leaves are dry, some are moist? Because some leaves you like put in something to preserve it, and some leaves you left out in the open air. And then some leaves could dry up before the others.
It doesn't have to be that. If you take hadas and you put them in water, they don't root, but they will last, but there's a limit to how long they will last. And at some point, they will start, some of the leaves will start going.
Some of the leaves will dry before the others. Okay, maybe that you sow to the Ravid, Yud Beis Kodesh, unless you preserve it, somehow is answering Tosa's question. Tosa's kasha is, if it's 12 months, how could hadas be half and half of the same hadas? The answer is maybe the way you preserved it, it overrides the rule of 12 months, and some of the leaves were preserved better than others. However that works, but scientifically, you can do experiments and figure out. Okay, these are the main four shitas. In Halacha L'maisa, the Mechaber paskins like the Ravid, and I think it's most Rishonim, that the shear is when it turns white. Again, no one really pays attention to this later thing of the Ravid. And the Me'iri was very obscure. The Ramah says, we're no hig. Like Tosos, Nefreches B'tziporen, he gives a little comment. He says, in our countries where it's very hard to get lulavs, we're no hig like the Ramah, because keep in mind, for the Ramah, you keep them for a couple of years. You can keep them for a couple of years. For the Ravid, we know you can't keep them even for a couple of months. So I guess in Ashkenaz, in Poland, in the time of the Ramah, it was hard to get lulavs that were so fresh. I don't think lulavs grow in Poland. So it's hard to get the lulavim that were so fresh. So he says nowadays we're mekel, the Mishnah Berurah is medayik from that, that the Ramah really thought that the other Rishonim were likely to be correct. He really leaned towards the other Rishonim, and therefore, really, even the Ramah admits the Shir Mishael Bino Peneihem. It's just B'shas Adchak. They had no choice. They were mekel and relied on Tosos. So halach
l'maisa. Wait, did he allow a bracha?
He allowed a bracha.
So then that's not really like the other Rishonim.
I understand. He didn't really. Rather, let's say.
Hey, but that's a proof against the diak.
Let's say better. That the Mishnah Berurah thought that the Ramah wrote, he wrote, we're knowing like Tosos in our countries, where it's hard to get a lulav. So I guess he understood that, you're right, it's not that Me'ikar didn't pass like the other Rishonim. That Me'ikar did, he passed like Tosos, but he really would have preferred to be Macher like the other Rishonim. The Shmur says nowadays, he doesn't say nowadays, he says, if in your city there's one good lulav, then don't be making like Tosos. Nowadays, I don't know what happened, you know, behind the Iron Curtain in the old days, so maybe they had to be Mekel. But nowadays, in all countries in the world that we know of, even Ashkenazim are Machmer, like most Rishonim, the Shears Mishael Bino Peneihem. It is just a very interesting historical sugya that if you look from the Rishonim down to the Achronim, those Poskim who lived in countries where they had access to Lulavim took the more Machmer Shita. Those Rishonim and Achronim lived in countries where they really didn't have access to Lulavim took the more Mekel Shita. So it could be coincidence. Or it could very well be that, you know, those Rishonim who saw lots of fresh lulavim all the time, it was mistaber to them that when Chazal talked about a lulav, that it couldn't be yavesh, it meant it couldn't even be, you know, a few months yavesh, because that was, you know, that was their way of thinking, their perspective on lulavim. Well, those Rishonim lived in countries where you saw a lulav that was 100 years old, not 100, saw a lulav that was that was 6 months old at least, or a year old, or 2 years old. It was mistaber to them from their perspective of love, and then when Chazal said yavish, they probably meant super duper yavish. And therefore, they were Mako. So that's a very, very interesting historical observation, which there are already hints at, that we're Mako in our countries. There's also a big discussion as to what part of the lulav, if it's Yavesh, is a problem. Which gets to a sugya, which maybe we'll come back to a little later, what's called lulav, right? Interestingly, says the Ravid and the Meiri, even though they modify this a little, they say, if you look at it, it says lulav agazav yavish pasol, but later on it says nifritzu olav pasol, nifritzu olav kasher. Olav meaning not on it, but alim shalo, its leaves. So when you want to talk about the leaves, you say its leaves. So apparently its leaves are something different than the lulav. There's the lulav and there's its leaves. So then what's the lulav? The lulav's not the leaves, because it says its leaves. So the lulav must be the shigra, right? This fine. So therefore, says the Ritva quotes a Yesh Omrim, and the Ravid and the Meiri say that it's the shigra. If the shigra is dry, that is a problem. We don't really care about the leaves because it doesn't say Yamshu Olav.
The Ritva said that?
The Ritva quotes the Yesh Omer. The Ritva did not hold it himself.
Yeah, the Ritva and the Yesh Omer says he needs both.
He quotes two Yesh Omers, if you look carefully. The Ron refuses to, but the Ritva does. So what part of the lulav? So let's see, Yesh Omrim says the Shedra. I'll just see why we'll modify that in a second. The Yesh Omer, the Ritva quotes the Yesh Omer, the Shedra. Because it's Meduyik in the Mishnah. It doesn't say Yavshu Olav like it says Nifridu Olav. That's a very reasonable shot. Another Yesh Omrim, quoted by the Ritva and the Meiri, is the Shedra Virov Olav. It says, no, the Lulav's not the Shedra. The Lulav is everything. It doesn't say Olav. It doesn't mean only the leaves. Then it would have said Yavshu Olav. It means Yavish the whole thing. The whole thing is both the Shedra and the Olav. So it's only possible if both the Shedra and the Olav are Yavish. However, the most common approach in the Rishonim, which is the Ritva and the Ran and the Rush say Rov Olav. Now, even though here it doesn't say the leaves, it's obvious that we mean the leaves. The reason why later on it says different to olives, because that's something that like specifically happens to the leaves. The leaves separate from the from the spine, or nifritzu olav, whatever exactly that means, which we'll get to. but here also it means the leaves. And if the leaves are pasul, then it is pasul. That's obviously a bigger chumrah, because the leaves always get dry first. The Derech Olam, as the Ran and Ritva point out. The Meiri and the Ravid themselves add something. The Ravid says Shedra. He's probably affiliated with that Yesh Omrim in the Ritva, who says it's the din in the Shedra. However, you add something based on the Rishalmi. The Rishalmi talks about Yavsha Tzitzitzo, which is what we call Tiyomes. We saw in Tosos. We'll come back to. I'm leaving those things for Daf. For Daflam and Bates, but we'll come back to what the word Tiyomas means. It may or may not mean what we think it means nowadays, but the top of it, right? The top leaf, the Tiyomas, if that's Yavish, also probably Shalmi, so they say Shidra O Tiyomas, meaning what we call Tiyomas, the top leaf. And in the end, the Ravid says, yes, Yavshu really means here the Shidra, but also the top leaf. He's not worried about the other leaves. So those are the four shitas that I found in the Rishonim. How do we paskin about this? The Mechaber paskins, like probably most Rishonim, that it just depends on most of the leaves being dry. And the Ramah, adds, or if the Shidra is dry, even though it's a little funny because the Shidra is unlikely to be dry before most of the leaves, but I guess once in a million years it can happen. And the Mishnah Berurah adds, for quoting the Ravid, or if the Tiyomas is dry. So here the Ramah adds, and the Mishnah Berurah adds. So halacha lemaisa, the Mechaber says just go by Rov Olin, but Ashkenazim are Machmir, I guess it was easy for the Ramah to be machmer since he was nifra, but Tziporim, but Lamaisa, we're machmer regardless. That if the shidur's dry, that's also a problem. So we're machmer like both shitas. even if the tiomas, the top leaf is dry, that's also a problem. Okay, halach Lamaisa, nowadays, this is very, you know, the only way you find a dry lulav is if you, you know, look like in someone's backyard someplace, or you wait till Hanukkah time, you're unlikely. That's not one of the challenges in buying aluminum nowadays, just as with modern transportation, you know, we can get pretty fresh lulav. Okay, but if it would come up, then we would be pretty machmir about this. Okay, now moving on to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Kapasik Vitani. The Gemara says unconditional, right, a categorical halacha. That it's possible. Lo shall be able to reach him, lo shall be able to shame. The Gemara says categorically, Gozel and Yavish is possible and Yantav Risha and Yantav Shame. Bishlam and Yavish Hadu being Malekha. We understand why Yavish is possible, it's not Hadr. El Gozel, Bishlam and Yantav Risha and Sivlachem and Yantav Risha, we understand, and Pachm Lachem, Bayam Risha and Shalachem, you need ownership. That's a Mefurish Mishnah later in the Perek, that you need to own your Lulav the first day. Avahel, we have to Shame, am I low? What's wrong with Gozel and Yantav Shame? We all know it's a Mefurish Mishnah in the Perek, that on the second day, you don't need to own your Lulav. You could be Yotze with someone else's Lulav. So, obviously, it's your sweeter fellow if you borrow someone else's Lulav, as opposed to if you steal someone else's Lulav. But the Mice, you're Yotze with someone else's Lulav, so what's the problem? Okay, now, just the one line, which Tosus has a lot of diukim in. What is Kapasik Vatani? I'm not going to get into it too much. But how do they know it's Kapasik Vatani? Obviously, the Pashup Shat, right? What's the Pashup Shat? How do they know that it means Baby Yom Tov Rishon, Baby Yom Tov Achron? What's the Pashup Shat?
No,
just
Pashup
Vatani, because the Mishnah doesn't give a condition. If the Mishnah says Stam, it's Stam. The Mishnah knew that there were 7 days of Sukkot. If the Mishnah meant the first day, it would have said so. That's a push-up shot, right? That when the Mishnah doesn't give a condition, there's no condition. Uh-huh. Tosos doesn't like that, right? Because, Tosos first doesn't like it, and then in the end, Tosos comes back to that, right? So, what does Kapasik Vitani mean? Kapasik Vitani, Tosfos, and the Ramban, and the Ritva interpreted Kipshuto. Right? Push-up shot. When the Mishnah says Stam, it means Stam. Tosa says, if you kasha, so how come Rabbi Chanina later on is machshir an esrog chaser, and he doesn't say kapasik vitani? All right, so either you have to say that, what does Tosa say in the end? Either Chanina does not agree with this way of reading Mishnayos, but Arsuk does, or you have to say that only in the beginning of the Perek you can be medayik from the lack of a tonight. Okay, but then he says, pshuto, there are other opinions, right? Tosos has two other opinions which he rejects, but the Ran says one of these two opinions is correct. So you could say one of these opinions, which is the Ran and the Tosfos, was Doche. It says, Midikatani Gozel Velo Shol, right? Maybe the Diak was the same Diak we make later. Tosos doesn't think it would be the same Diak. Maybe it could. Since the Mishnah could have said Shol was Puzzle, but didn't. The diuk is that Shaul is kosher. If Shaul is kosher, then we're talking about also the last 6 days, because Shaul is kosher, which shows that if it's a time when Shaul is kosher and Gozel and Yavish is still possible, Gozel and Yavish is possible for 7 days. Or Tosh said another opinion which he didn't love, but the Ran also says that he says we are going to accept one of these two opinions. He says because Gozel Dumya Diyavish. Because Gozel is taught next to Yavish. It says, Lulav ha-Gozel v'ha-Yavish pasul. Doesn't say Lulav ha-Gozel pasul v'ha-Yavish pasul. Gozel v'ha-Yavish. And and it's Pashat Lohem, or Pashat Lanu, the Yavish pasul kol Zayin. It was obvious to them Yavish is pasul kol Zayin. Not obvious to all the Rishonim. Not obvious to the Rambam. But according to this chat, it was obvious to them Yavish is pasul kol Zayin. Right, the Tosos and the Ran Taka hold that it's obvious Yavish is possible called Zayin Mahalacha. And therefore, Gozel has to be like Yavish, and that was their diyuk. So it wasn't just from the fact that it's an interesting machlokas. If the Mishnah says something unconditionally, does that mean it's unconditional? Shot of Gemara, yes. But there's other people saying, no, only if you have a special diyuk. The Ritva gave one other opinion. Says the Ritva, he says, because it says, Lula Gozel Yavish Pasol, Shalash Sheirav Shal Irani Dachas Pasol. It says it before Asher and Irani Dachas. Asher and Irani Dachas are for sure possible all 7 days. Because pretty much everyone agrees to that. Because Ketutim Mechta Shiuri, it is It is as if it's burnt up. It doesn't have the shear. Therefore, of course, if it's burnt up and it's not the shear, that's obviously possible 7 days. So he says, Mide katani lifnei ashera ve'ir handacha, since it put these gozel and yavish before sharing your nidachas, that means it's possible 7 days, like a sharing your nidachas. Otherwise, it would put it later. Okay, whichever one it is, we have a kapasik v'tani. At this point, at least the Gemara thinks that you guzzle and yavish are possible 7 days. And here's what we mentioned last time in terms of Rashi. This is a very strange line in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, kipshuto, the Gemara is hard to read. Says the Gemara, Vishlama Yavish Hadamin Maleka. I understand why Yavish is possible 7 days. After all, you need Hadar, it's in the Pasuk. But why would Guzzle be possible 7 days? After all, you don't need Lachem all 7 days, you only need Lachem on the first day, because it's in the Pasuk of the first day. So here, this doesn't make any sense. They were saying, Hadar, of course you need all 7 days, it's in the Pasuk. But Lachem, of course you only need the first day, because it's in the Pasuk. Right? Like, what is the Gemara saying here? Why does the Gemara think you need Hadar all 7 days, Misvara, but you don't need Lachem all 7 days? And that's true, the Maskana also, you don't need Lachem all 7 days, right? Even though Rabbi Yochanan says Guzzle is a problem, a mitzvah of Adera, he admits you don't need Lachem all 7 days. No one ever argued on that in our Masorah, that you yotze with a borrowed lulav on the second through seventh days. So, but this Gemara, it's almost impossible to read. Why would you need Hadar, but you wouldn't need Lachem? So say, Olakachim Lachem, Bayom Rishon Priyetz Hadar. Lachem Bayom Rishon, Bayom Rishon Priyetz Hadar. So either you only need Hadar and Lachem and Yom Rishon, or you need Hadar and Lachem all 7 days. But why did the Gemara split it like this? It's very, very peculiar, and that's what bothered all the Rishonim. And that's just, it's a pshat question, which obviously gets very deep, in terms of how to understand this Gemara. So how many basic approaches are there in the Rishonim for answering this question? That's an unfair question, because it all depends how you who you put together with someone similar. It depends how you look at it. There are at least three approaches, you know, very, very minimally. There are a few different approaches. So one approach is, I don't know what order we should go in, one approach is to say, nope, out of desperation, it can't be that the Gemara really means you need Hadar all 7 days. And then Bishlama, Yavish is possible, you need Hadar all 7 days, but you only need Lachem the first day. It can't be they're in the same Pasuk. The Gemara couldn't have meant you need Hadar all 7 days, and you don't need Lachem all 7 days. Because why do you need Hadar all 7 days? Well, Kach Lachem by Yom HaRishon creates Hadar. So rather, the Gemara didn't really mean Hadar. The Gemara meant Hadar as in beauty. But the Gemara didn't really mean the Hadar of the Pasuk, because the Pasuk doesn't apply all 7 days. The Pasuk is only the first day. The Gemara meant some other idea of Hidr. So, for example, who says that? But even before that, Rashi, right? That's what we discussed before that, meaning Monday Shir, right? Monday Shir is before today's Shir. So Rashi said it first, and he also said it first, historically. That's what Rashi, remember? That's what we said, why was Rashi say? That's what we began last week's Shir. Say, why would Rashi say something crazy that makes no sense and then we have to answer it up? The answer is, he didn't say something. He said something very logical to explain the Gemara. And then, of course, you have to answer it up. Right? It's not okay. It doesn't make you a Rishon to say crazy things that because you can answer up for no reason. But say crazy things because you have to explain the Sugya. There's no other way to explain the Sugya. Then we'll answer it up. So that's why Rashi says, Hadar doesn't mean Hadar. No, all 7 days is only a mitzvah drabanan. Remember what it says in the Mishnah later on, which we all know from kindergarten, that batchila hayalulav nitel b'medina achas mikdash shiva. Mishachar b'es hamikdash hitkin Rav Yochanan mezakai mi drabanan zeichel hamikdash. So it's only drabanan b'yontif sheni. So on a drabanan, we're not makbid on these details of lachem and hadar. If we're not makbid on lachem, we're not makbid on hadar. We're not makbid on these details mi drabanan. So what does it mean, Bahira Hadar? Bahira Hadar, it does mean the local details. It means the global principle of Zakeh Le'Aveh, of Hidr Mitzvah. Of course, even Drabanan, you need Hidr Mitzvah, right? Hanukkah is Drabanan. We need Hidr Mitzvah. So that's what Rashi says here. He says that in order to answer this problem. So, hold on. Just 1 second. I apologize. wasting everyone's time, but I just need to reorganize my real estate. Tosos, the Ramban, the Ritva Se. Kipshuto, two is the Ran, and Tosos was Doche, said, Midekatani, Guzzle, Velo, Shaul. I just need to erase that part. Three was the Ran, and Tosos was Doche, said, Guzzle, Dumya Diyavish, and Pashut Lanu, Yavish, Pasol, Kol Zayin, and number four was the Ritva added. The Ritva has two pshatim on this list. That's because he said two different pshatim. Mi dechatani lifnei ashera ve'ir hanidachas. Okay. Now we have more real estate. So the basic problem is, why does the Gemara say Bishlama Yavesh is Pasul Kol Zayin because Hadar Ve'inan, meaning you need Hadar Kol Zayin, but it says Aval Ela Guzzle, what's the lesson of the Gemara? Biyamtif Rishon, Ksiv Lachem, which the drush is Mishalachem, meaning we don't need Lachem Kol Zayin. So why do we need Hadar Kol Zayin and not need Lachem Kol Zayin? So says Rashi, that Kol Zayin is only a Zecher LeMikdash. We don't need any of the details. The Psulim do not apply Kol Zayin. He says that all Psulim of the Pasuk don't apply to a Derabbanan. Right? Because me Derabbanan, we weren't so machra on that. However, by Hadar, we really means Hiddur mitzvah, let me say better, means the general principle of Hiddur mitzvah, and a general principle applies even to a drabbanan. That's what Rashi answers. Who else says it's not really from the word Hadar in the Pasuk? Yonatan? Unclear. Okay, the Balamor says something similar.
Right?
The Balamor is awfully similar to Rashi here. The difference is, the Balamor thinks we don't end up passing this way, and Rashi thinks we do. But in this line of the Gemara, the Balamor is very similar. What's the only difference between the Balamor?
He has a different Pasuk.
And the Rashi? Balamor says the exact same thing. All Psula and the Pasuk don't apply because it's only Darabon the second day. So why does the Gemara think it makes sense that Yavish applies? It's not because of Hadar in the Pasuk. Rather, it's because of Hakrivein Olafecha Secha. Right? This means the general principle of Hakrivehuna Lefecha Secha. Hakriveinu lefecha secha, that is a, we lane that. When do we lane that? Maybe Shabbos HaGadol?
No.
No?
Parshas Toldos.
Okay, thank you, correct.
Or Mitzvah Parsha.
We lane that Parshas Toldos, correct. That Torahs are next to each other, right? We lane that Parshas Toldos, which is the beginning of Malachi. Not to be confused with Shabbos HaGadol, which is the end of Malachi, which are very, very far apart. But Hakriveinu lefecha secha, this is together with the pasuk from next year, right? Vavesim Guzzles Biseach. Hashem says, why are you bringing me these bad karbanos? Hakriveinu lepecha secha. Pecha is a is, I forgot what the word for it in English, it's one of the dargahs of governorship in the Persian Empire. A satrap, or I don't even know how to pronounce it. It's one of these words you read and you never know how to pronounce because you don't hear it on the radio. Because we don't have the Persian Empire anymore. But it says, what Hashem says is, would you bring this to, you know, I don't know what the good parallel is nowadays. Do we bring, they get arrested if we bring bribes to Sarim in the government nowadays.
Yeah.
But, you know, imagine we didn't live in Israel. Imagine we lived in, I don't know, Venezuela or something, right? So our brethren in Venezuela, we were still stuck there. So if you want to get anything done, you bring matana to the little bakshish, as they say in our part of the world, right, to the right person. And then you are, then you're taken care of. So it's Hashem says, would you bring this to your governor? No, because it's disgusting. So how can you bring it to me? Chutzpah. Okay, which is the basic point of that beginning of Malachi, that we really had a disrespectful attitude towards the Mizbeach. It mefurish a few places in Shas that doesn't only apply to Karbonos. And all over Shulchan Aruch, it applies to all mitzvos. Right? Those of us who learned Yerodei with me last year, remember, right? Into the end of Simen Kof Ches, I think it was. Was it the end of Kof Ches or
the mouse thing?
Yeah, no. You're right. It was the mouse thing. So it was the.
That's early.
Yeah. It was not the end of. It was not the end of Kof Ches. It was the end of probably the end of Kof Gimel. Kof Ches was in the Nosa Kalem. That if you have a mouse falls into your oil and makes a treif and you can't eat it, don't donate it to shul for the oil near Lamar. Because that's disgusting. If something's disgusting, it's disrespectful to give it to Hashem. That's a Kotor Kula principle. That has nothing to do with this pasuk. So the Baal Amor says at this stage, the Gemara thought, and the Baal Amor we'll see in the end, doesn't think we paskin like this line in the Gemara. But the because he doesn't think we paskin this with Avera, but he says, we think the Kotor Kula principle of Hakriel and Fakosech, okay, the same basic idea as Rashi, just coming from a different source. The Milchamos has a big problem with the Baal Amor, it's just not intuitive to him. He says, in common sense, a Lulav HaYavish is not disgusting, and Esrog HaYavish is not disgusting. These aren't disgusting, they're just dry. You know, happens. Is this a disgusting thing? It's a very nice thing. It's just useful for some things and not for other things. But he said some of the meanim, when they're yavish, are very, very useful. Okay, but that's the Baal Amor's, that's the Baal Amor's pshat.
Wait, Rebbe, you said that it appears somewhere else in Shas? Where in Shas is that's not dealing with Korbanos? The mouse thing looks to be like kind of an invention of the Achronim.
Right, okay, so we'll have to check Blinetter. Okay, the Tosfos, where should we go? Let's go to the Meiri, by the way, of course, agrees with Rashi. We mentioned that last time, that the Meiri defends Rashi, the Meiri agrees with Rashi, that it's a din of Zekelim Yavehu. And then he says, like we said, like this is worse than Eged, because Mamsha Mason Haluka, this is a very bad lack of hitters. So the Meiri is with Rashi here. The Ravid, in the end, the Ravid's Maskana, which is sort of after he changed his mind, the Ravid's very interesting. It's very interesting to read the Hilchos Lulav of the Ravid. Okay, my history of Rishonim Rebbe, Harav Dr. Chaim Salvechik Shlita, Hashem should send him a lot of strength. He was very, very convinced that one of the tchunot that characterized the Ravid more than his contemporaries was he was always self-questioning, and he was always willing to change his mind, and he never got used to his shitas. And you know, like most people, they have a shita, and then they defend it because they're used to it, because it's their shita. You know, some measure of subconscious ego and intellectual laziness. Says the Ravid was like the most intellectually honest person ever. You know, if you had any kashas on him, he would immediately change his mind if you were right. Right? That's why some of the old printings of the Bali Nefesh, the Ravid shita on... they used to have a big problem for the modern printing Bali Nefesh, the Ravid Shita on Hilchus Nida, which had Hasagas the Baal Amor. So sometimes the Baal Amor would write Hasagas, but he didn't make any sense. He was just agreeing with the Ravid, but he was writing Hasagas that the Ravid was wrong, but he was agreeing. So how can he be so impolite? The answer is because the Ravid wrote Fakir, he wrote Hasaga, the Ravid read his Hasaga, and he changed his books. And now they say the same thing, and you don't understand the Hasaga, because the Ravid is very open-minded. Here also we see. He doesn't say, apparently no one else made any horrors to him. But he himself, at first, in the beginning of his chibur, wrote one way, and then later on changed his mind. And, you know, and also, like, he didn't, like, go back and erase everything and pretend he got it right from the beginning. Like, no. He was okay. He was the same Kaki Darby Zal Torah, saying that at first he thought one shot, but then he realized it was the wrong shot. He had a better shot. Okay, it's a very impressive midah of the Ravid. The Ravid, so at the end, and this is, right, this is also what he says in Maskan of Hilchos Lulav, matches what he says in the Hasagah of the Baal HaMor, where he has one line about this, and what he says in his Hasagah on the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, where he has also one line about this. So that one line summary, and the Hasagah on the Rambam, and the Mishnah Torah, and the Hasagah on the Baal HaMor, and the bottom of the Rif, match the final stage of his thought in Hilchos Lulav. What does he say? He says, do you need Hadar all 7 days? No, you don't need Hadar all 7 days. In that way, he is almost like the same as Rashi in the Baal HaMor. Says the Ravid in his Maskana, right? Says the Ravid in his Maskana, just like you don't need Lachem all 7 days, you don't need Hadar all 7 days, right? All Psul and Pasuk don't apply. It even sounds here to the Ravid that they don't even apply Midaraisa in the Mikdash 7 days, although that is, let's just say this a little different, because, and I'll explain what I mean by this a little later, but he says that all Psulim of the Pasuk don't apply to Kol Shiva. Right? No, it says Ulchak Lachem by Yom HaRishon, so you only need Lachem and Yom HaRishon. It says by Yom HaRishon creates Hadar, so you only need Hadar and Yom HaRishon. It says, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, all the Psulim do not apply, all the Psulim of Hadar do not apply all 7 days. Certainly nowadays, when we're talking about Mitzvah Darbanan, he assumed our mission is talking about the Mitzvah Darbanan all 7 days, like we're acquainted with nowadays. And you also don't need Hadar. So if you don't need Hadar, then why is the Lulav Hayavish Pasul? So he says, he takes this Yerushalmi seriously. Remember we said last time, the Ritva did not take the Yerushalmi seriously. The Ritva says, what's the Yerushalmi saying? Well, Mesimi Haluka, what does that have to do with anything? That's the Derech Yerushalmi to have cute smachta drushas to back up things and, you know, and make it resonate with the reader. And inspire people. But the Ravid says, no. This is an actual halachic shita of the Yerushalmi. The Ravid also tied that into, when he said at first, and maybe this is what he means in the end also, remember when we're Sopik, is the 12 months just measuring when it gets white, or the 12 months of complete retraction? But he says, how are you getting white? Because when people die, they get white. And it's really about death in that Yerushalmi. And then he says, and even if you don't pass like the Yerushalmi, Mestama, they knew what the Geder of Yavesh was. So you can still be the diet together of Yavesh. Okay, says the Ravid, what's the problem? The problem is, now notice, this is not a general principle he's bringing in. That's exactly what the Ramban kills him for. The Ramban says, how can you make a general principle that anything Yavesh is pasul? That's not true. We have lots of places in the Torah something Yavesh is kosher.
How could the Ravid say that it's a psul deraisa if it's clearly, it was a drasha on the Ramban, it's a drasha for Tehillim. He just assumes that that's going to kill Lulav whenever you're using it.
That is a good question. Give me a second. He does not make a general principle of this. I don't think the general principle of makes me haluka, meaning clearly you can use dead things for mitzvos. That's what the Ramban says. Don't think dead things don't count in Kol Torkul. There are lots of times you use dead things for a lot of important things. Classic example. Para Aduma is a lot more dead than Lulav Hayavish. I know that's not what the Ravid says. But
it's not even what he means.
Okay. The Ravid?
Yeah.
I know that's not what the Ravid means, so give me a second. Says the Ravid, no, this is not a psul from the Pasuk. It's not from the Pasuk in Vayikra, because all the psul from the Pasuk in Vayikra only apply to Yom HaRishon. But from Lo Hamesim Yehaleluka, right? This is the psul of Amesim Yehalukah, says the Ravid, and the Ravid even compares the Ketutei Mechtat Shiurei. He says, after all, the Asher and Irni Dachas are meant to be burnt, and therefore it's as if they don't exist. Likewise, this, if it's mace, it's not just not hudder. If it's mace, it mamish, as if it doesn't exist. It's gone, it's worthless. Misa is totally worthless. It's not just a lack of hudder or lack of lachen. It's as if it's not there at all. A dead thing, I mean, technically a dead thing is there. Right, if your dog died, it's still there. But it's not any, not a dog anymore. It has no value anymore. And likewise, lo amesh mihalukah. That's the Ravid's chiddush. He takes this Yerushalmi so seriously, and he says that's why lulav yavesh is pasul kol zayin. And it didn't mean davka hadar to the pasuk of hadar, because you don't require the pasuk of hadar kol zayin. After all, we see later on that Rav Chanina says if mice bit your esrog, you're allowed to use it beyond tosheni. I mean, you're allowed to use it the last 6 days. You don't require hadar all 7 days. Rather, just, you don't need hadar, but you need something. And this is dead. Dead is worthless. Now, the Ramban asked a whole bunch of kashas on the Ravid. Yeah?
I mean, when you lay this line, once you take anything that was mechutar b'karka and cut it off, it's dead.
So that's a great question. How do you know what the gedder of dead is? I mean, the Ravid is assuming dead is when it dries off. Of course, we would think that based on our, based on science, just based on our, not based on modern science. It's based on normal common sense intuition and based on, you know, things we find, you know, even though they don't use the word dead in Hilchos Shabbos and Tumah Vatara, etc. That once it's cut off the ground, it's dead. We all know a plant is dead once you cut it off the ground, really. Even before it dies, it dries. Although, again, it's very hard to say exactly what it means for a plant to be dead, since when we use the word dead, we really are thinking of animals. But I hear the taina. Let me just point out, the Ramban has a lot of sagas. The Ramban gets very upset about this Ravid. He gets very upset about this Ravid. And he says, number one, this is the same Kasha Tosfos on Rashi. How are you saying still makes me halukah? Remember in Daf Lamed Aleph, where you said you were even in the Chachamim, it's because of Hadar? So how do you say it's because of Lomo makes me halukah if it's really because of Hadar? That's his first problem with the Ravid. And then he says, our Gemara says Hadar. Our Gemara doesn't say Lomo makes me halukah. It's very nice that you found a cute Yerushalmi, but what's the normal rule if there's a steer between Bavli and Yerushalmi?
Bavli.
We pass like the Bavli. And especially, you're trying to write a Parish on the Bavli. So if the Bavli is against the Yerushalmi, A, we can't pass like Yerushalmi. You certainly can't explain a line in the Bavli based on the Yerushalmi. The Bavli says, Hadar be'inan. It doesn't say, Lo ameis mihalukah. It doesn't mention that anywhere. How can you stick that in? And then he also adds that the Ravid keeps saying, says, if it doesn't exist. And he compares it to Ketute Mechta Shirei, which we'll get to, but I'm sure we're familiar with. He says, that's not true. All over Shas, even if something is dead, even if something is dry, it still exists. We don't have a rule, that's clear. We don't have a rule all over Shas that something doesn't exist if it's dead or it's dry. Right? Dead animals certainly exist and have a shear, and dead plants certainly exist and have a shear, and dried plants exist and have a shear. Right? It's like, it's ridiculous. You have a dried up piece of wood. You're going to say it doesn't exist? It's not makabel toma? You can't use it for schach. Did anyone ever say, if you have a really dry piece of wood, you can't use it for schach because it doesn't have the shear of Zion El Zion and etc.? No, meaning we all know that dry things are perfectly good in Kultar Kula, and dead things are perfectly good. Therefore, we reject this Yerushalmi. The Ramban has tremendous caution on the Ravid. I think to defend the Ravid, you have to say one of two things, which again might really go together. To defend the Ravid, I mean, the Ramban's kasha is like, Bekolator Kula, there's no principle that Yavish is Kemisha Eino, doesn't exist. There's a principle that Asher Ni Dachas doesn't exist in Kolator Kula, or at least doesn't have a Shear. That you find all over Shas. A shofar of Asher Ni Dachas is possible, and a sandal chalitza of Asher Ni Dachas is possible. Oh, okay, Seder. But we never, it's just not true that this is considered a mace and doesn't count in Kolator Kula. So, to defend the Ravid, how are you going to defend the Ravid against the Ramban? What?
You could defend that he's been dragged from the
Ahalulit. Exactly. So, one way to defend the Ravid against the Ramban, right here we have this Ravid. Let's just make ourselves a little
hopefully we can use this, right? Question of the Ramban, which is that it's not a general principle. So I think you can answer in one of two ways. One is based on the Rav. Of course it's not a general principle. In Kol HaTorkula, it's not a Kiyum of Hallel. Obviously in Kol HaTorkula, you have a very dried out sandal chalitza, it's still considered a perfectly good shiur, etc. You have very dried out schach, that's fine. If something, the Rambam never meant to say, the Rambam says if something's dead, it's as if it's not there. He didn't mean to say something's dead, it's as if it's not there in Kol HaTorkula. What he meant is, right, that would save us a lot of trouble in Tumas Mesa and the Vela if something dead is as if it wasn't there, it wouldn't have the shiur. But that's ridiculous, right? He doesn't say, it means when it's a din of Hallel, death doesn't count. And then it makes perfect sense. In Kol HaTorkula, it's just a din of things. Things are things, whether they're alive or dead, whether they're moist or dry. But Hallel, death is the antithesis of Hallel. How do we know? You know, A, because we have a healthy spiritual intuition and we're not weird. But even if we were masupik about our theology, because the Pasuk says, Lo Amesim Yahalel Lukah, right? That ultimately the only Hallel of Hashem is the force of life in the world and the power of life in the world, and death is the opposite of Hillel Hashem in the world, right? We don't celebrate death. Therefore, Mitzad Hallel, it's Kamisha Eino. Oh, why do they call it Hadar? And then you have to say that the language of Hadar is Lav Davka. The language of Hadar is Lav Davka, so you could say it's a din in Hallel. It's a din in Hallel, and you have to say that Hadar is on Daf Chav Tesem and Beis. I won't put it all on the board. Why do they say Hadar and Daf Chav Tesem and Beis? That's Lav Davka. They really mean Lo Meis Mihal Luka. Why is there the Rishon and Darshan, the Tana and Darshan, Lord Hadar and Daf Lamed Aleph? That's only in the Havim. Even Rashi says it's not only the Maskana, as we pointed out. That's one derech. However, I think there's a second derech, and in the Ravid, in his very, very pithy formulation, in his Asag and the Balamor, which I might or might not be able to find, since I'm an old man who's not used to Ozva Hadar. But he says, where's the Ravid on the Balamor? Where's the Ravid Tassagas on the Balamor? Here's the Milchamos. Here. No, I know in the regular Gemara. But I have here a... Oh, here it is. It's in the margin. Whoa, okay. I just have to get over myself and stop the complaining about the Ozva Hadar riffs. But someplace here he says, Sharp Sulim, Ksherim, Yadav Shem, Yishav, the Ika Hadar, Ben Mitzis, Esrog, Lafuke, Yavish, Aleka, Be Hadar, Klal, Kimo Hamis. In his Asagas of the Balamor, he suggests that maybe it really is based on Hadar. Really, maybe this Yerushalmi is based on Hadar. Maybe what the Yerushalmi means is that, and again, I don't think these have to be separate, they might go together, but based on the Hasagas Ravid on the Balamor, you could say that it's only the Rav says, Vibakom Hallel. He's not talking about the Ravid Hilchos Lulav. I don't think the Rav ever read the Ravid Hilchos Lulav. As those who remember the Rav, no, he was not into reading obscure Rishonim. He says, no, it's b'makom hadar. Meaning the Pasuk says hadar. Okay, we don't extend hadar to all 7 days, and we don't extend lachem to all 7 days. However, we don't extend hadar to all 7 days, because why be so machmir all 7 days? However, Yavesh is not just a lack of Hadar. Yavesh is the antithesis of Hadar. Yavesh is a complete lack of Hadar. So maybe what he means is that since Yavesh is such a complete lack of Hadar, Lo Amesim Yahalulukah, it's Misa, it's the opposite of Hadar, and the Pasuk says Hadar. Since the Pasuk says Hadar, and Yavesh is the complete antithesis of Hadar, therefore we were Machmir, probably Midrabanan, although it's hard to tell, to passel Yavesh all 7 days. So, and the answer to that would work well. Why our Gemara says Hadar and why Daf Lamed Aleph says Hadar. To answer the Rabbani, you would say, I didn't mean to call it Harkula, a mace and a Yavesh doesn't count. No, that's ridiculous. What I meant is that when there's an idea of Hadar, even though we're not makbid on Hadar, but Hadar is in the Pasuk, when we see that Hadar is in the background,
When Hadar's in the background, then we see Hadar's in the background. We're not mocking on Hadar all 7 days. But once there's an idea of Hadar on the first day, at least Mace, which is the antithesis of Hadar, where it's interesting that Mace is the antithesis of Hadar here. How does he know Mace is the antithesis of Hadar? Maybe Adrav, maybe Mace is not so bad. Maybe, Mold is the antithesis of Hadar, but Mace is not so bad. That's because we see in Tehillim that from a theological perspective, Mold is still growing, so it's not nice, but it's not the antithesis of Hadar. Misa is death, and that's the antithesis of Hadar, because Hadar in Jewish theology and Jewish hashkafa means the force of life, means liveliness. So maybe B'makom Hadar in the background, right? B'makom Hadar B'yom Rishon, since we need Hadar B'yom Rishon, then in all 7 days, we'll at least say the arch enemy, the antithesis of Hadar, is going to be possible. So it could be that the Ravid, this depending on how you formulate this Ravid, you could understand this Ravid if you read the Helchus Lulav of the Ravid. It sounds like, no, it has nothing to do with the word Hadar all in the Pasuk, because the word Hadar doesn't apply all 7 days. It's just a Svara of Hallel being the opposite of Misa. Or, if you look at the way he formulates it, as Sogas of the Balamor, he could mean it, the Pasuk doesn't apply all 7 days, but since we have the Pasuk in the back of our minds as background, we have a certain orientation that Hidr is a factor here, therefore we see Misa as a problem all 7 days. I think these two go together. Like, you know, why would it be that we look at it this way and lo makes me halukah, because the Hadr on the first day show that it's an Indian of Hallel. Yes?
But the Yerushalmi itself says, like two lines later, that if you compare something that's really dry, like the Tiamus versus the Tiamus that's a cut, so at least the Tiamus is dry, you're still going to say that it has an element of Hadr. So if it's an antithesis of Hadr, then how could Gemara say what it said?
That is a good question, and unless the Ravid just passes like, doesn't pass like that one, Yerushalmi, because he doesn't deal with it.
It doesn't need to even be paskening. It just,
right. You're right. It's a good question. I maybe have to be eyeing more. Maybe he has some Raya that we fundamentally reject that line, but I don't recall seeing one.
Could you explain? It's sort of like this. A palm branch, that is still a palm branch. The definition of, just the definition of lulav is a lulav that has hadar in it, and when it means that you have to have a lulav all seven, you have to have a definition of a lulav. Not, and the definition of a lulav is a lulav that has these properties. After that, it just becomes a palm branch, which is not a lulav.
Okay, I mean, maybe that could be saying, you know, coming down to the same idea in different words.
Does the Ravid carry through that idea of the connection to Hallel like the Rav did?
Not that I noticed. Okay.
Doesn't this really all begin from Esrog and then get the Lo HaMesim? It's on the dried Esrog or it's on the dried Lulav? What does Yerushalmi refer to?
Yerushalmi's on Lulav. It's on our Mishnah. Okay. How about Tosos? What does Tosos do? Tosos is fundamentally similar to Rashi and the Rishon, fundamentally similar to Rashi and the Balamor and the Ravid's Maskana, and then he says all the Psalm of Pasuk don't apply to this mitzvah drabbanan. Right? All the Psalm of Pasuk don't apply to this mitzvah drabbanan. But how does he explain why you need Hadar? But here he is trying to stick to the Pshat of the Gemara and say it's from the Lashon of Hadar. Remember, he's the enemy of Rashi. When it says Hadar, it means Hadar. It doesn't mean Zekeli Mianvegu. It doesn't mean, and like it doesn't mean Hakriyeh Hofecha Secha. It doesn't mean this, it doesn't mean that. Hadar means Priyetz Hadar. So why would Priyetz Hadar apply on on all 7 days if Hadar and Lachem do not apply all 7 days? So what does the Tosus say? That all 7 days are Drabanan. So Tosus starts with another Kasha. Ulekachtem Lachem. How many things do we learn from Ulekachtem Lachem? What? True, but three. Ulekachtem lekicha lekal echad ve'echad. Everyone has to take it and not just bezdin. Lekachtem lekicha tama. That it shouldn't be missing anything. Actually, four. Lekachtem lekicha tama. You need all four species. Three are not good enough, or not good at all. And lachem, it has to be yours. So it says, hold on. On the second day, midrabanan, we still require everyone to take it. We still require all four species, but we don't require it to be complete, because we know that, we see later on, we're clean to the bite, and we don't require it to be yours.
So why do like some of the things apply on the Rabbanan and some of them not? Say, oh, the Rabbanan were metakin. Why were they metakin some things, not other things? So he says, ah, that's easy. They were metakin things which are the most important elements of the mitzvah, such as that everyone has to take it, because without that, it's a totally different mitzvah, and such as they can do all four species. Without that, it's a totally different mitzvah. They weren't metakin the details, because they didn't want to be so machmer. So they weren't metakin it has to be whole, it can be missing a bite, and they weren't metakin it has to be yours, it can be borrowed. Ah, so why were they metakin that you need hadar? Right? After all, hadar is the basic action, or hadar is a detail? Clearly it's a detail. The basic action is that each guy should pick up four species. So what is Tosos' answer? Tosos says that midrabanan tiknu deba'inan hadar. But now he's stuck. If the rabbanan were metakin need hadar, you should also need lachem, because either kain d'oraisa tikkun or not kain d'oraisa tikkun. Why are the rabbanim metakin you need hadar and not lachem? So what is Tosos' answer? Very ironically, because of hiddur mitzvah. Tosos ends up very close, not really close to Rashi, but ends up sounding very similar to Rashi. The rabbanim tikkun d'inan hadar mishum hiddur mitzvah. Meaning, it's that, what's the machlokes in Tosos and Rashi is on a d'oraisa level. Right, Tosas says no. The etzem din d'oraisa is because the pasuk says hadar, and Rashi says the etzem din d'oraisa is because of hiddur mitzvah. What does Tosas say? At least if we assume Rashi that way, like he says, what does Tosas say? Tosas says, however, why did they extend hadar? Why did they extend hadar to all 7 days and not extend lachem? The answer is, there's no reason to extend lachem all 7 days. That's just a detail. Why make you ma'amachar every detail all 7 days? But there is a reason to extend hadar all 7 days, because it's a general value, right? There's a general value hiddur mitzvah. Because the general value hiddur mitzvah, they didn't just leave it at a general value. That would be Rashi. Because the general value hiddur mitzvah, they extended hadar to all 7 days. That's what Tosos means, right? Tosos says, because of the general value, the Rabbanan specifically extended hadar. So it doesn't end up being a rule of hiddur mitzvah. It ends up being a rule of hadar. But the inspiration why the Rachamim were metakin ke'in d'oraisa tikkun for hadar, but they weren't metakin ke'in d'oraisa for lachem, because lachem is just a detail. They don't want to be machmer on every detail. But hadar is like, im kvar. It's nice to have hadar anyway, because it's zekeilu v'anbehu. So once it's nice to have hadar anyway, because it's zekeilu v'anbehu, you might as well make hadar a requirement all 7 days. And mi ba'akev and bika'in d'oraisa. That's how Tosfos understands. Okay, what all of these have in common is that there's really no difference in the pasuk. The pasuk does not apply all 7 days. The pasuk is only for Yom Tov Rishon. How do we get Hadar and Yom Tov Sheni? Either not from the pasuk from Zekeilu Gavbeinu, not from the pasuk from Hakriyanu Lefechasecha, not from the pasuk from the Lomais Mihaluka, which may be inspired by the pasuk, but not from the pasuk, or from the pasuk, but only midrabanan because of some outside general value of Hidr Mitzvah. That's what all these have in common. However, what's Tosus' Havamina? Tosus' Havamina is... What's Tosus' Havamina? What's Tosus' Havamina before he comes up with this? He says, the Havamina is, we can actually differentiate in the Pasuk. How can we actually differentiate in the Pasuk? Exactly. Before Yom Rishon or after Yom Rishon. Right? Because Tosus doesn't use these words, but the other Rishonim do. Maybe Mikra Nidrash Lafanav L'Achra B'Yom Rishon goes on until then. U'lekachtem Lachem B'Yom Rishon. You need Lachem on Yom Rishon. Priates Hadar B'Kapo Stor V'Nachet Tzavos Yavri Nachol Smachtem Tzvei Hashem L'Kev Shivas Yamim. The Hadar you need Shivas Yamim. Lachem is Yom Rishon. Hadar Shivas Yamim. It's in the Pasuk. Tosus says in the Pasuk. Okay, Tosus rejects that. The truth is, it's hard to find someone who says exactly this way. Lamaskana, but the Ravid, before he changed his mind, accepted that, right? That was the first stage in the Ravid's thought. It wasn't like Tosos, like a brief, fleeting Havamina. The Ravid probably thought that for a couple of years. I mean, I have no idea how many years passed in between that. I don't think anyone knows by now. But says the Ravid in his original Shita, the original Shita of the Ravid, which is also the Havamina in Tosos, right? And this is also Tosos in the Havamina. But again, the Ravid's more than a Havamina. It's his original Shita when he wrote the Halachos. Then he just went back and re-edited. He re-edited everything, the Ravid. That was Derech, he always re-editing.
He would have, you know, he was like the mucker for the Wikipedia idea, right? That you're always tinkering with the and improving the entry. So the Ravid says no, it's all based on the pasuk. The answer is you need hadar. Hadar is kol zayin because it's before Shivas Yomim. But Lachem is only B'Yom Tov Rishon because it's before B'Yom HaRishon. Right? I mean, you could have said the opposite. You could have just looked at the other perspective. Lachem is only the first day because B'Yom HaRishon comes after it. Right? But L'Hadar is all 7 days because B'Yom HaRishon came beforehand. Shivas Yomim comes afterwards. That's what he's bringing the pasuk. U'lekach L'Lachem B'Yom HaRishon. Pause. Lachem is only B'Yom HaRishon. Priyetz Hadar v'kapos varim v'anafis v'vos v'yarvi nachol v'smach v'tlei Hashem l'kechem Shivas Yomim. All those things apply 7 days. Okay. And then based on the way he puts it, the principle of Mikra Nidrash L'Fanav Lo La'akrav, the word B'Yom HaRishon only goes on what's before it, doesn't go on what is after it. That is what the Ravid holds. Tosos has a problem with this. What's Tosos's problem with this? Why does Tosos reject this Havamina? Why not say everything before Yom HaRishon is only the first day? Everything after Yom HaRishon is all 7 days. What's Tosos's problem with this? Remember we said four things we learned from L'kach L'chem. One is that it has to be yours. Taka, that's only the first day. Another is that it has to be whole. Can't be chaser. That's taka only the first day. But how about the fact that l'kicha b'yad kol echa ve'echad and l'kicha tama that you need all four species? After all, those apply all 7 days. But according to this pshat, they should only apply the first day. So what's the Ravid going to say about this? The Ravid ended up changing his mind. And B, we'll see in a moment that the Ravid held that even when he held this pshat, he held that not all Amorim agreed to it. But still, the Chora, everyone agrees that all 7 days, each person needs to shake the Lulav and Esrog, and that you need all four species, the Chora. So, what's the Ravid going to say? What's the Ravid going to say about this? So, the only thing I can think of is A, in terms of L'kicha B'yad Kol Echad Ve'Echad, that doesn't bother me so much. How do we know L'kicha B'yad Kol Echad Ve'Echad? How do they darshan L'kicha B'yad Kol Echad Ve'Echad? Sounds like a L'kachtem. So it says L'kachtem B'yom HaRishon, and it says V'smachtem Shivas Yomim, simply B'yad Kol Echad Ve'Echad. So that doesn't necessarily bother me. You could say that Enich Ulekachtem is only for Yom HaRishon, but it also says V'smachtem Shivas Yomim, so we know Kol Echad Ve'Echad. I don't have a mocker, but that makes sense to me. What about L'kicha Tama? What about L'kicha Tama that you need all four species? So either the Ravid's going to say V'smachtem is also Simcha Tama, although that's going to be a little trickier, or Pashti could hold like the Urzarua. The Urzarua holds you don't need all four species on all 7 days. What does that mean? Now you have to notice. It depends how you interpret this drasha of L'kicha Tama. L'kicha Tama, don't misinterpret it. Don't say L'kicha Tama means you need all four species, otherwise just take whatever you want. No, says the Urzarua, that's not the drasha. It's not like we would have thought you don't need all four, but L'kicha Tama says all four. No, that's stupid. It says, priyetz hadar kapos marim va'anafi tzvos v'yari nachal. Obviously you need all four. What's the chiddush of l'kicha tama? Says the Urzarua. Is that they're ma'akev each other. Of course you need all four. Of course you're not yotze your obligation until you get all four. The only nafkin l'kicha tama, it's not l'kicha tama tells you to matriach yourself to buy all four. No, of course you have to buy all four. The chiddush of l'kicha tama is, if you only have three and you're onas rachmana patre, you only have three, should I at least pick up the three, or is it worthless, I should do nothing? If you're onus rabbana patre, you can't get the fourth. You are on a desert island, and you have a palm tree, and you don't have an esrog tree. And there's nothing you can do about it. Should you at least wave the palm branch, or not? So we would have thought, at least do whatever part you can. After all, what if you have only tefillin shel yad? Is that good enough? You don't need to, of course you need tefillin shel rosh. But if you're a desert island, you only have tefillin shel yad, at least put on tefillin shel yad, right? And that's what you thought without L'kicha Tama. L'kicha Tama tells us it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. It's not like a desert island with tefillin shel rosh and not tefillin shel yad. It's like you only have tzitzis on three corners of your garment and not the fourth. Then don't at least wear it with the three. No, it's worthless.
don't do anything. It's like all those things that are ma'akvin zetzeh. So, says the Or Zeruah, Taka, who says you need l'kichatama all 7 days? Only on the first day you need l'kichatama. On the other days, you don't need l'kichatama. That doesn't mean you can be lazy and only shake one species. No, but that means that if you're in a place of onus rachona patre, and you only have three or two or one species, then at least shake it and do a quarter or two or a half or three quarters of the mitzvah is better than nothing. On the first day, three quarters of the mitzvah is not better than nothing because you need l'kichatama. On the second through the seventh days, it's at least three quarters of the mitzvah. At least do what you can. The first day is like tzitzis, four corners are bust. And the second day, it's like tefillin. You're chayiv on both tefillins, but if you only have one, at least do what you can. Okay, so it's not so crazy to say that you don't need l'kichatama all 7 days. So maybe the Raivan would say, Taka, in this day, you don't need l'kichatama all 7 days. And he would not be bothered by the kasha of Tosfos, and he might just say, like the Or Zeruah. After all, the Or Zeruah, but there was one of it was Talmud of Bali Tosfos, and he thought it made sense. Okay, so that would be an interesting nafgamina. According to the Raivid, it would seem pretty clear, like come out like the Or Zeruah, that you don't need the kichatama all 7 days, and on Chol HaMoed, not that you're yotzei with three species, you're high of four species, but if you can't get the fourth, at least do three quarters of the mitzvah and shake three of them. That is the Raivid. Now, one last shita is the Ramban and the Ritva. Okay, the reason why the Rambam's not in this chart is because this chart is not a chart of how they paskin. It's a chart of how they interpret our line in the Gemara. And what? Okay, why does the Rambam not belong on this chart of how he interprets this line in the Gemara as to why Yavish is possible 7 days, but Guzzel is not possible 7 days? Why can I not put the Rambam? Why would it be blasphemy to put the Rambam in this chart? No, that would make it blasphemy. Because he doesn't paskin like this Gemara. He paskins Yavish is only possible 1 day. So, Mestami, he had a hesber why the Gemara thought in a strange, wrong Havamina. But obviously, we're not going to get any idea how the Rambam interpreted this line in the Gemara. Because he doesn't paskin like this line in the Gemara.
He still has to explain the pasuk.
What?
He still has to explain the pasuk.
The pasuk's fine for the Rambam. Lekachta lachem b'yom rishon p'yitz hadar, you only need lachem in yom rishon, you only need hadar in yom rishon. Shalom al Yisrael. The Rambam holds you don't need anything on yom sheni. All the psulim are kosher on yom sheni, according to the Rambam. So that's not a problem. We'll get to that in a moment. What did the Ramban say? The Ramban here has a chap, and he turns everything on its head, and the Ritva follows him. And the Ram quotes him, although he also quotes something which is somewhat similar to the Raivid. What's the Ramban's basic chap? Actually, the Ramban has two stages. The first stage of the Ramban is interpreting the Pasuk, right? Says the Ramban, he says it's from the Pasuk. Like the Raivid, he gets it from the Pasuk. But he doesn't think it's a matter of before and after. It's not mistabber him that it's an inyan of before and after. Maybe because of Tosas Kasha. Because after all, you need l'kichatama all 7 days. Or maybe he just doesn't think it's mistabber. So what's the Ramban's shot in interpreting the Pasuk? Not a matter of before and after, but... What's the Ramban's shot in interpreting the Pasuk? He's within the Pasuk, right? There are two fundamentally different schools of thought. Right? Jonathan said three, so I don't know, you can make it six, you can make it three, you can make it four, five, however you want. But maybe he meant everyone and the Raiv and the Ramban, or maybe he meant the Raiv and the Ramban and Tosfos and everyone, I don't know what he meant. Doesn't matter. What does the Ramban say in the Pasuk? He does not say it's a matter of whether words are earlier or later like the Raivid. What does he say? How does he read the Pasuk? Remember how the Raiv reads the Pasuk? Ulukachdan lachem by Yom Rishon. Let's just review. How does the Raivid read the Pasuk? Right? The Raivid at first says the Raivid, originally, right? Before he changed his mind. Says the Raivid originally before he changed his mind. We'll see why he changed his mind in a moment. He says, Ulekachtem lachem is Biyom Harishon. But creates Hadar Vechuli is Shivas Yamin. It's just a break in the Pasuk. How does the Rambam read the Pasuk? I know. What does the Rambam say about all the Psulim? They're all only Yom Rishon Kasher Biyom Hasheni. How does the Rambam read the Pasuk? The Rambam would read the Pasuk as Ulatachtem lachem dot. Pre eight hadar is biyom harisho. The whole pasuk is biyom harisho. Usmachtem shilas yomim separate, and then, right? We could probably do this. Right? What is biyom harishon? What is shivas yamim? So for the ravid, it is ulakachtem lachem, the first half. And what is shivas yamim? Is pre eitz hadar v'chuli, the second half. The Rambam says no psulim are possible the second day. I don't mean no psulim. He admits asher and irani dachas, but none of the psulim we're talking about are possible the second day. What would the Rambam say? Again, Star Gemara. What would the Rambam say? That what? V'yom rishon ulakachtem lachem until probably the arvei nachal, right? I don't see. It doesn't make sense to put the semicolon after the word hadar, right? Ulakachtem lachem v'yom rishon. Right, he put ulkachlin chabi yom rishon psik, etc. The Rambam would say not ulkachlin chabi yom rishon priyatz hadar. That's a silly place to put it. Ulkachlin lachem until priyatz hadar a kabosu ran nafzu v'every nachal. That's all yom rishon. And what's on shivas yamin? Usmachtem. Right. With here's the first half, but he just makes the first half longer with no conditions.
Maybe
that's the second half for the Rambam. I know I'm saying something the Rambam didn't discuss the pasuk, but I think it's Darpa Pasha. I don't think it's true. It's about this.
Maybe the Rambam held it with the Rabbanon. And then not like the Briskers one, it's like your thing. Rabbi Yorbi saying
that. Maybe the Rambam told you that the only at the Rabbanon.
But rather, Rambam held only the Rabbanon, and that's the reason that in Mikdash might be different.
Yeah, it's you could say that in the Rambam. It's just.
The Briskers don't like the stencil, doesn't like that.
It's just very, you know what he wants to say is in the Rambam, what Joel wants to say when the Rambam is machshir the psulim yontov sheni, he only means bezvan hazeh. He doesn't mean in the mikdash. The problem with that is that the Rambam wrote his book, right? Unlike every other halacha sefer nirshonim, I think every single other halacha sefer nirshonim, or almost every other halacha sefer nirshonim, is written for bezvan hazeh. The whole point of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah is that it's written for the zman of the mikdash. So it's a little funny to say when the Rambam is machshir yontov sheni, he only meant bezvan hazeh, because the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, he always writes if it only is on his end. Stop. Okay, anyway, if you want, you can say that. What does the Ramban say? How does the Ramban divide up the pasuk? Here it gets a little tricky. How does the Ramban divide up the pasuk? What part is Biyom HaRishon and what part is Shivas Yamin? So what does the Ramban do? The Ramban says like this. He says, the first half of the pasuk, Ulekachtem Lachem, until the Arve Nachal is talking about Yom HaRishon. The second half of the Pasuk is just Usmachtem, .. right, is Shivas Yamim, is the second half of the Pasuk. But he just adds one thing. He says, Misvara, what does Usmachtem mean? Usmachtem means, Usmachtem, Misvara is going back on the basic idea of what we said until now. After all, what does usmachta mean? Maybe usmachta means to drink beer. Maybe usmachta means to dance. Maybe usmachta means to play guitar. What does usmachta mean? So the Ramban adds, he says, really it's only usmachta shivas yamin. But usmachta is referring to the basic action previously mentioned. Right? That's the Ramban's chab. Usmachta is referring to the basic action that we previously mentioned. What's the basic action we previously mentioned? Is the basic action lachem?
No.
Is the basic action ulakachtem?
Yes.
Yes. So, meaning, usmachtem al yaday ulakachtem, and is ulakachtem enough to know, define? You have to define simcha. Can you define simcha without lachem? Yes, so simcha doesn't mean lachem. Can you define simcha without lakachtem? Then you don't know what to do. Now, is it enough to say lakachtem? What do you have to add? Ulakachtem. Is it enough to say lakachtem? Take?
No.
You simcha by taking? Sounds very anti-Musser. No?
You have to take it hadar.
Take the four species, right? Ulakachtem pre-eitz, leave that for blank, kapos, etc. Now, here's one question. Is the word lochem necessary for usmachtem? No, because you can have usmachtem without lochem. Usmachtem is meaningful without lochem. What's the chap for the Ramban? Usmachtem means something without lochem, but usmachtem is meaningless without ulakachtem. How about hadar? Do you need hadar for usmachtem to mean something or not? Can usmachtem mean something without hadar or not? Like, usmachtem al yelakicha, these four minim without beauty. Could that mean something? If you just say take the four minim without adding beauty, you would think it does, right? Usmachtem al yelakichas, four minim. You don't need lochem, you don't need hadar. But, what is the Ramban's chap? The Ramban's chap is, the Ritva has a slightly different formulation. Maybe he just means anything that's in the guf hadavar is part of usmachtem. This is the Ramban's chap. Here he gets into an exegetical issue of what the pasuk means. What does pre-eitz hadar mean? Is pre-eitz, it's interesting, in modern Hebrew, when we say eitz hadar, do we mean an adjective, a beautiful tree? Or do we mean a compound noun of a two-word noun that describes the tree?
Citrus fruit.
Okay. Of course, in modern-day Hebrew, eitz hadar is citrus fruit. We're not going to get into yet the relationship between citrus and esrog. Let's assume, for the sake of argument, well, we'll see there's a chazanish like this, that citrus and esrog are synonymous. Again, I don't mean you should go use a grapefruit. And the chazal also don't mean you should go use a grapefruit next sukkahs. But let's assume they're synonymous for our purposes meanwhile. Right? The chazanish says all citrus fruits are called esrogs. Now that's modern Hebrew. Modern Hebrew doesn't prove anything, right? But says the Ramban, that's not just modern Hebrew. Says the Ramban, that's biblical Hebrew. There are two ways to interpret this puzzle. You'd say it's a pre-eitz, which is hadar. In which case, you could take a pre-eitz and it won't be hadar. How do you know which eitz? Okay, maybe darts in tam eitz per yoshavin, or say halacha moshe b'sinai with mesora, which it is. You could have said hadar was merely an adjective. However, says the Ramban, not true. Hadar is the noun. Hadar is the identity of this species. And that's the chiddush the Ramban. Hadar is not an adjective. Hadar is the noun. Hadar is not it has to be a beautiful esrog. No, hadar means an esrog. Otherwise, it's a pre-eitz. It's any fruit. It could have been an apple or a pear or a pomegranate. And what's the raya the Ramban brings that hadar actually means esrog and is not just an adjective? What is hadar in Aramaic? What?
Aramaic.
Or rather, what is an esrog? Esrog is from the root word. No, that's sukkah. Right? Meragig, rugging, right? And the he says in the Gan Eden, which may have been an esrog, right? He says the meragig ilana, right? Meragig loserog, losis aves, translated by unclos loserog, meaning hadar and esrog are actually the same word. Just hadar is based on a Hebrew root, and esrog is based on an Aramaic root. Okay, a lot of biblical Hebrew shares roots with Aramaic. I don't necessarily mean the Aramaic came first. But that's the chap of the Ramban. And why is this parshanut important? It sounds like a pure, like, pshut shel mikra mechkar kind of thing, like he's a Bible professor someplace, and he's trying to figure out, and not even the interesting kind of Bible professor. It sounds like he's the boring kind of Bible professor. He's like, he's not interested in the actual stories, but we have to figure out this word exactly what its shortish is. All those people that we used to get so excited about when they lecture to us. So it sounds like a very insignificant discussion. Does pre-eitz hadar means pre-eitz as the noun and hadar as a description? Or pre-eitz hadar is the name of the noun. And he says hadar is the name of the esrog trees and eitz hadar, like in modern Hebrew. Why is that significant? That's significant for the Ramban, not just because the Ramban actually held that you should also do all those things about the Shorashim and technicalities, because every word of Chumash is important to learn because it's in the Torah, but because it affects us here. Says the Ramban, you have to add hadar. Why? Because pre-eitz without hadar is like kapos without tamarin, and like anaf without eitz avos, or anaf eitz without avos. Would you ever say, well, Anaf Eight, an Avos is just like us tonight? No, an Anaf Eight, we don't know what it means without Avos. We ever say Kapos and Tamarim is a Tanai? No, we don't know what Kapos are without Tamarim. Right? The likewise, pre-eight doesn't mean anything without Hadar. And therefore, Usmachtem must mean pre-eight Hadar because it's the name of the Esrog. Once it's the name of the Esrog, and it gets into Usmachtem, we also darshan it to mean beautiful. But beautiful is not what Hadar means. It's the name of the Esrog, the Pshat is the name of the Esrog, and the Drash is that it's beautiful. Obviously, it's not a coincidence. The Esrog is called X and it's beautiful, but that's Ramban's Kiddush. The Pshuto Shel Mikras, Hadar is the species name. The Drash is that it's beautiful. So once the Pshuto Shel Mikras sneaks in, because otherwise, not sneaks in, is including Usmachtem, because otherwise Usmachtem doesn't mean a species, doesn't mean four species. Now you also need beautiful, because Hadar is in the Pasuk Usmachtem. And that's the Chab. Usmachtem is meaningless without Ulukachtem, and without Hadar. Why is it meaningless without Hadar? Because then we haven't told you what species yet. So now Usmachtem means Usmachtem b'Hadar. Once it means Hadar, and for the species, it also means Hadar for the beauty. That's the Chab of the Ramban. Am I correct?
Now that you say it over again.
So what does he say here? He says, Lachem is only Bayom HaRishon because Usmachtem is meaningful, is complete, right? You can have a Maisa Usmachtem, right? Usmachtem is, let's say even better, is descriptive without Lachem. So Lachem is only Biyom HaRishon, because Usmachtem doesn't have to mean Lachem. The Usmachtem just means the minimal thing that Usmachtem means. However, Hadar is Kol Zayin, and here he's like the Raivid at first in Tosfos Havamina, that it all goes back to the Pasuk. Hadar is Kol Zayin, because Usmachtem is not descriptive, it's not telling you what to do at all without the word Hadar. And it's based on the two levels of Hadar. Obviously, Usmachtem would be meaningful without the beautiful part of Hadar. But the word Hadar is a package deal. And without the word Hadar, it does not refer to a species. So once it has to have the word Hadar, it has to have beauty also. That's the Chab of the Ramban. Let's just point out the obvious nafka mina of these pshatim is, do you need Hadar? Do you need Hadar all 7 days? So according to Rashi, do you need Hadar all 7 days? Yes, because of Hidur Mitzvah. According to the Baal HaMor, do you need Hadar all 7 days? Here it's actually a little tricky. It's not 100% clear in the Baal HaMor whether you definitely don't need the Pasuk, whether Hakriven Lefecha Secha. Would that passel all the things or not? So we're going to leave him blank. According to the Raivid and the Maskana, do you need Hadar all 7 days? No. It just can't be Yavish, but it doesn't have to be Hadar, right? According to Tosfos, do you need all 7 days? Yes, Midrabanan. According to the Raivid, do you need Hadar all 7 days? Certainly. Certainly, yes, because of where it is in the Pasuk. And according to the Ramban, also you need Hadar all 7 days. So there's a machlokas here, whether you need Hadar all 7 days, according to this stage in the Gemara or not. Now we just have to complete one thing, which is the big kasha on this line of the Gemara. Keep in mind, almost everyone here says you need Hadar all 7 days. What's the problem saying you need Hadar all 7 days? That what do we paskin later on in Daf Lamed Vav? That you don't. Right? Rav said, if the mice bit it, right, according to the Lishna Basra, which we usually paskin like, right. Rav said, if the mice bit it, it's not Hadar, it's possible 7 days, but he's wrong. We agree with Rav Hanina that whether the mice bit it or whether you bit it, it's kosher all 7 days. Rav Hanina even chomped his esrog and was yotzi with it all 7 days. Okay, there's some debate in the Rishonim. Pashup Shah sounds like Lechachila. Some people want to say, no. He chomped his esrog, and then lost his other esrog, and then had to use the chomped one all 7 days. But the pashup shot is even lechachil, it's no problem. As long as you had in mind not to make it mukzer for 7 days, etc. So we see that you don't need hadar all 7 days.
right? And the first lashon, maybe they said it's okay if you take a bite out of it, but and maybe it could still be a problem if the mouse bit it because it's meos. Maybe you can't have meos. But it sounds like you don't be hungry all 7 days. So how do we explain daf lamed vav on the base? Which red's better? Daf. How do we explain daf lamed vav on the base? How do we explain daf lamed vav on the base, which says that eaten esrog, a partially, I don't want to say half-eaten esrog, because a lot of Rishonim write, and we paskin, that if it's half-eaten, it's puzzle, because you need at least rove the esrog to be there, or else it's not an esrog. But if it's 49% eaten, a partially eaten esrog is kosher b'yomtiv sheni. How do we explain that? So how do Rashi and Tosfos explain that? How do Rashi and Tosfos explain that?
Tosfos says that he doesn't, but
the reason Tosfos says he doesn't hold the Kapasik V'Tani is because it says Nikev Chaser Kolshu, and he doesn't hold the Kapasik V'Tani there. Tosfos doesn't think he disagrees with this line. He doesn't think he disagrees with Yovich and Guzzel. He only thinks that he doesn't hold the Kapasik V'Tani by Chaser Kolshu. What's the real answer? What does Rashi say? If you need Hadar all 7 days, how can Reb Chanina be machshir this bitten esrog?
It's a different thing.
Called?
Chaser.
Exactly. Says Rashi that that case is Hadar. It's just chaser. Now, obviously, this is a bit of a chiddush. What does Rashi say? Says, that's not a lack of hinder. You need Hadar all 7 days. And it is hadar. Just because you took a bite out of it, why does it make it not hadar? Yeah. Here's an interesting question. If I took a bite out of an esrog, is it hadar or not? It's like, obviously, I asked the question based on that's obviously not hadar. It's missing a bite. On the other hand, like, there's nothing wrong with the esrog. I just enjoyed part of it already. Or my little friends enjoyed part of it already. Right? It's an interesting question. If something's missing a bite, is that a lack of hadar? Or does that just mean I'm in the middle of, it's so delicious that look, right? If you see a cake is missing a slice, on the one hand you could say, it's not mahudr anymore, it's not a shalem, look in the halacha, bitzias hapas, etc. On the other hand you could say, it's a beautiful cake, it's so mahudr that someone already chopped the first slice, and I better chop a slice before they're all gone. Right? If you go to Kiddush, what does it mean if the cake is shalem? That means it's more mahudr or less mahudr, I don't know. So Rashi says, again, my intuition would have been, that's not called hadar. But then I think of it and it says, why isn't it hadar? There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing went wrong with this esrog. Just someone ate some of it. So Rashi says, that's not a psul of hadar. But we know chaser kolshu is puzzle. So Rashi, that's not a psul of hadar. That's a psul of chaser. And chaser is kosher and yontif sheni, but lack of hadar is pasul and yontif sheni. So Rashi is no problem. You need hidur mitzvah and yontif sheni, but a bitten esrog is not a pekam of hidur mitzvah. It's very mahudr. It's just chaser, and chaser is the technicality. And Tosfos says the Balamor doesn't. He does relate to it. We'll come back to him. Tosfos says the same thing. Tosfos says that's not a lack of hidur. That's a psul of chaser. Taka, you do need hadar all 7 days. Rashi says you need hadar all 7 days because it's a kelim yavigo per se. Tosfos says you need hadar all 7 days because inspired by the kelim yavigo, they are metaka and hadar all 7 days with Rabbanan. But either way, you need hadar. So why can I use a bit in esrog? Because that is very mahadar. It's just chaser. Chaser is a technicality that doesn't apply all 7 days. For the ravid, it's very micha, right? For the ravid, it's no problem at all. Because Taki, he's the only one who said, you don't need hadar all 7 days. You can't have a complete lack of hadar, like Misa, but taking a bite out of it is not a complete lack of hadar. You only took one bite. 51% of it is still left. Again, assuming, like the postman say, you need 51% left, which is good common sense. We'll come back to the Balamor.
Didn't the Gemara Beferish say that the issue was never an issue of hadar?
No, it depends. First of all, it depends if you pass like Lishnakam or Lishna Basra. Then even Lishna Basra.
Either way.
Let's see like Lishna Basra. Rav says it's not Hadr and we reject him. Do we reject him because Taket's not Hadr but we don't care? It's not Hadr but who cares? Or do we reject him because we say it is Hadr? He thought it wasn't Hadr but we say it is Hadr. Right? Okay, how about so that's one approach, either for the Ravid, it's not a, for the Ravid, it's not a, the Ravid, the Ravid, at first, it's really not a, one second, the Ravid Maskana, I meant, sorry, it's not a problem at all, and for Rashi and Tosos, it's not a problem because it is Hadar. It's just Chasser, the Nopsol of Chasser. But what does the, what about the Ravid? in one second. Okay, let's leave that for now. What about the, give me half a second here. One second. Okay. What about the Ravid originally was not happy with this. The Ravid originally was not happy with this. He was not happy with this idea. And the Balamor Lechora as well, although we're not sure if it's totally for this reason or not. The Ravid originally, he was not happy with the idea to say that a mouse bitten Esrog is still Mahudr. No, he thinks a mouse bitten Esrog is not Mahudr. And that we are machshir mouse bitten esrog like the Lishna Kama. So says the Ravid, he did not like Rashi and Tosfos' pshat. He assumed that a mouse bitten esrog is not hadar. Ah, but if a mouse bitten esrog is not hadar and you need hadar all 7 days, then what was Rav Chanina doing? Then what's Pshat Rav Chanina? So what did he say? How did he answer the stira between our sug? You remember, our sug says Yavash is possible 7 days. Rav Chanina is machshir bitten esrog all 7 days. So far we have two answers. One answer is the right of the maskana. No one ever meant you need beauty all 7 days. It just can't be dead. And that wasn't dead. It was only missing a limb. Right? The guy loses a finger, he's not dead. It's never, but he's not dead. Or Rashi and Tosa says, that was very mahudr. If I bite from it, even if the mice bite from it, it's very mahudr. It's so mahudr that it's delicious. It's just a technical problem of chasser. And there's no technical din of chasser. You don't eat shleimus all 7 days. The Ravid says no. He says, that's disgusting. That is the antithesis of hiddur. It's totally not mahudr. So how come daf chav tes amid beis, we need hadar all 7 days based on the pasuk, but on daf lamed vav amid beis, we don't need hadar all 7 days? What is the Ravid answer in his original formulation? He says it's a machlokas asugyas. Yeah, that our sugya held that you need hadar all 7 days, but the sugya later on held you don't need hadar all 7 days. And that's goofa, the machlokas being discussed in the sugya there. Do you need hadar all 7 days or do you not need? Rav thought you needed hadar all 7 days, like our Gemara, and we passed in that you don't need hadar all 7 days. So what does he say? He says it is a machlokes hasugyos. It's a machlokes hasugyos whether you need hadar all 7 days. Our sugya, you know why? Because our sugya is based on kapasik vatani. We thought kapasik vatani. Kapasik vatani means yavish is possible all 7 days, and if yavish is possible all 7 days, it must be because you need hadar all 7 days. So we had this whole svara. And that's what Rav thought in Daflam Vavim Beis when he said, no, if it's not hadar, it's possible all 7 days. But we pass like Rav Chanina, that you don't need hadar all 7 days. And taka we pass in yavish is kosher, right? Says machlokas hasugyos, but we pass in that yavish is kosher biyomtiv sheni against our Gemara. We pass, I mean, Rashi and Tosas chashom, yavish is possible all 7 days. Just chaser is kosher in yomtiv sheni, right? And the Ravid in his maskana said chaser shalom. Yavish is possible all 7 days. It's just everything else is kosher b'yom tov sheni, because it's a lie. But the Ravid, and that's why the Ravid changed his mind. It seems like the main reason the Ravid changed his mind is because he found all these rayos that yavish is possible all 7 days. Right? Remember what was one of his big rayos that yavish is possible all 7 days? He found where Palto going, and what was his deer that yavish is possible all 7 days? that made him change his mind and reject this original formulation? From the case of the B'nai Krachin, the Chacham wanted to prove to Rabbi Yehuda, rather Rabbi Yehuda wanted to prove to the Chacham and that Yavish is kosher, because the faraway people handed down their lulav through the generation. So that proves Yavish is kosher. So he says, hold on, maybe they only handed it down for Chol HaMoed, but it's Taka Pasul on the first day. How do we know they hold Yavish is kosher? Maybe they only handed it down for Chol HaMoed, when Yavish is kosher, the maskana. So it must be there's no difference in Chol HaMoed and Yom Tov in terms of Yavish. Yes.
Wait, so the Revit in his Havamina or whatever. So he says you do need Hadar Kol Sheva, but then he says but we pass him that you don't.
So hold on. Yes, but later we paskin no. Yes, but later we paskin no. And then you have a tremendous Naf Gemina. Yavish is taka kosher and Chol HaMoed according to the Ravid. And that's what he rejected. He says, no, that's too radical for me to be Machshir Yavish and Chol HaMoed. Too radical for me. I'm going to reject it and go to my Maskana Sugya. And the truth is, who else held this way, even though he didn't necessarily have to be forced into it? The Baal HaMor also held that we reject Kol Pasuk V'Tani. The Baal HaMor also held the reject Kol Pasuk V'Tani. He didn't need to. So he says, he also says that it is a machlokes hasugis. He doesn't say that specifically to answer of Chanina. So you know, he doesn't really deal with this. But you should know that he also holds machlokes hasugios. The reason I put in parentheses because he's not trying to answer at Rav Chanina. Did the Baal HaMor explicitly say he's answering at Rav Chanina on Daf Lamed Vav? Hold on, he does. No, the Baal HaMor does mention Ikburach Barim, right? What does the Baal HaMor say? Says, the U.S. we should Ikburach Barim, Imer Trey, Gom Dash, Olik, Dis, Fekir, Rabbani, She'in, Lom, Nisbul, Chenka, Gurif, Sal, Matsasi. Okay, but all the Psalm on Yom Tov Rishon does sound like, okay, does sound like he probably could have found other ways, but as he says, look, if the mice ate it, it's not Hakrin Lefecha Sech. Obviously, don't pass that way. He also says, Machlokes Ha Sugyos. Which other Rishon holds as a Machlokes Ha Sugyos and we don't paskin like this line, of course, that we mentioned? The Rambam. We have no idea how he interpreted this line in Gemara, but he obviously paskins Machlokes Ha Sugyos because he holds that Lulav Yavish is kosher beyond Tov Sheni. Could you please get the board for me, Yosef, because I'm going to need to erase. I was not good enough at conserving real estate. Say when. No problem. Take your time.
No one's waiting.
No. Adraba, take as long as you want, because then when it gets late, I can blame you instead of me. This is all, there's a method to my madness. Okay, so I actually have the board already. I just wanted. Okay, right, so what's the nafgamina? The nafgamina here is Yavesh biyontiv sheni. Do we hold like our Gemara or not? So Rashi would say clearly pasul. The Baal HaMor says kosher. Pasul, kosher, pasul, and Rambam as well. Right? We don't know how the Rambam, meaning we don't know how the Rambam interpreted our Gemara, but we know that he says that we don't paskin like our Gemara. Now, here's an interesting question. Why don't we paskin? We're going to get into this later. In Guzzel, is Guzzel pasul all 7 days or not?
No.
That's a machlokes in the next sugya. Rabbi Yochanan says Guzzel is pasul all 7 days because of? Mitzvah. And Shmuel says Guzzel is kosher on Yom Tov Sheni. Why? Either he doesn't hold the mitzvah of Aveira, or he doesn't hold the mitzvah of Aveira applies to this particular case, right? That'll be a big machlokas Rishonim. But just, I want to point out something interesting. What's the relationship between, here we have, Gozel b'yontif sheni, says Rav Yochanan, pasul, and says Shmuel, kosher. Who do we paskin like? Very poshut, who do we paskin like?
Rav Yochanan.
No, I tricked you. It's a tremendous machlokes Rishonim. It's a tremendous machlokes Rishonim, and even down in the Shulchan Aruch, it's a machlokes. Okay, we don't know who we paskin like. Is this machlokes the same as this machlokes?
Is that are these two machlokos the exact same thing? So the pashtos is they're the same thing, and that's what the Baal HaMor assumes. The Baal HaMor assumes that it's the same thing. Assumes the Baal HaMor, right? What's the relationship between this and this? Says the Baal HaMor, it is the same machlokas. And therefore, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, you hold Yavish's pashtos all 7 days. And Rabbi Hanina was not arguing that our sugya. If you hold like Shmuel, you hold Yavish's kasher and yontif sheni, right? However, not everyone agrees. The Raivid doesn't agree, and the Ramban doesn't agree, right? Says the Raivid. Says the Raivid. He says, no, this is the Raivid, I mean, at first. The Raivid original. He says, even Rabbi Yochanan, even Rabbi Yochanan admits that Yavesh is kosher b'yontif sheni. Even Rabbi Yochanan admits Yavesh is kosher b'yontif sheni. Why? Because even Rabbi Yochanan admits that Yavesh is kosher b'yontif sheni. Why? He says, because really, we don't pass like this line in the Gemara. You don't need anything in the Pasuk Yontif Sheni. Rabbi Yochanan just says Mitzvah Aveira is an overriding general principle. So Rabbi Yochanan, even though he comes from the Kapasim Vitani, he's really just saying Mitzvah Aveira. He admits that the Kapasim Vitani is rejected, the Maskana. And the Ramban says the opposite. Says the Ramban, meaning, let's just review, even Rabbi Yochanan admits, even though Rabbi Yochanan's based on the Kapasim Vitani, if we went ahead one line in the Gemara, we realize that there's no Kapasik Vitani. Even Ryokhan admits there's no Kapasik Vitani. However, the Ramban says the opposite. Says the Ramban, even Shmuel admits, he doesn't pass like Shmuel, but even Shmuel admits that Yavesh is possible b'yantif sheni. Even Shmuel admits Yavesh is possible b'yantif sheni, and that we do say Kapasik Vitani. So here, it's very unclear. The Baal HaMor assumes Yavesh and Gozel go together. Either Kapasik Vatani, they're Pasul 7 days, or not Kapasik Vatani, they're Pasul 1 day. Says the Raivid originally, no, I'm sure Yavesh is Kasher B'yantif Sheni. Even Rabbi Yochanan admits that it's not Kapasik Vatani. He started with Kapasik Vatani, but he admits on Daf Lamed Vav we reject Kapasik Vatani. And he just says Mitzvah Aveira on his own. Really, it's not Kapasik Vatani. Everything Mishnah is 1 day. Gozel is 7 days because of Mitzvah Aveira anyway. And the Ramban says the opposite. Really, even Shmuel accepts Kapasik Vatani. Everything in the Mishnah is Pasul 7 days. If everything in the Mishnah is Pasul 7 days, why is Guzzle not Pasul 7 days? Isn't it in the Mishnah? Yeah, because the Mishnah retracted Guzzle 7 days. Where did the Mishnah retract Guzzle 7 days? It said later on Nafim Aleph that Ayyantav Sheni or Yotzi with someone else's Lulav. And it didn't say how you got someone else's Lulav. So therefore, he admits Kapasik Vatani, everything in the Mishnah is Pasul 7 days. Dot, 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 dot. Except Guzzle is kosher the second day because you can use someone else's lulav, and we didn't make a condition how you got it. Okay, so that is just, put that on the side. The last thing I want to discuss, I'm not going to get to everything. You're going to have to remember this chart for next time. This is the Ramban. We never discussed the Ramban's brilliant, gewaldic answer to the Stira and Daf Lamed Vav. What's the Ramban's eye-opening answer, groundbreaking answer to the Stira from Daf Lamed Vav? After all, R says you need Hadar B'yantav Sheni. And Daf Lamed Vav says you don't need Hadar B'yantav Sheni. He assumes that a mouse bitten Esrog is not Hadar. Right? Back to the Kiddush, cake of the Kiddush. The Ramban and the Raivid say, give me a break. That's not Hadar. So hold on, you don't need Hadar B'yantav Sheni. But here you do need Hadar B'yantav Sheni. What's the Ramban's brilliant answer? Does he admit 100,000 gazillion percent that our Gemara is true? Everyone agrees Kapasik Vatani. Even Shmuel agrees Kapasik Vatani. You absolutely need Hadar and Yontif Sheni. Not just Yavish's Pashul. You need full Hadar and Yontif Sheni. He absolutely agrees that Flam and Vav Beis. You absolutely don't need Hadar and Yontif Sheni. An ugly Esrog, a disgusting Esrog, is perfectly kosher Yontif Sheni. How does he deal with that stira?
The Mikdash versus Namne.
There's two different Yontif Shenis. Yontif Sheni don't rice in a Mikdash, and Yontif Sheni me drab banan.
in the Gvulin mi bizman hachorban. He just says there's two different Yontif Shenis. Now, what's his slight assumption he has to make? It says the word Yontif Sheni and Chav Chav Tesem Beis. It says the word Yontif Sheni and Daflam Vav and Beis. And they don't mean the same thing. But he says that's not a bad shot. Why? Because in Daflam and Vav and Beis, when they said Yontif Sheni, they're talking about the days of Rav and Rav Chanina, which is in Babel after the Chorban, Mikra Banan. And Daf Chav Tesem Beis, when they say Yontif Sheni, what are they talking about? The Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah is also written after the Chorban. But the Mishnah is talking about before the Chorban. How do we know the Mishnah is talking about before the Chorban? Because later on the Mishnah says that Rav Yochanan Zakeh made a takana to take it 7 days, meet Rabbanan. But that means until now, we're not talking about Rav Yochanan Zakeh. So he says, yeah, Yontif Sheni means different things, different context. In the first Mishnah, which is pre-introduction of Rav Yochanan Zakeh, we're not supposed to know Rav Yochanan Zakeh when we start the Mishnah with Lulav Gazel. We only know that later. It's talking about the Doraisa. Yontif Sheni Doraisa. Later on, Rav and Rav Chanina, we're talking about the Amorim sitting in Bavel. Obviously, Yontif Sheni Midrabanan. So says the Ramban, no problem. Daf Chav Tesamad Beis is Yontif Sheni B'mikdash Doraisa. And Daf Lamed Vav Amad Beis is Yontif Sheni Bigvulin Bizman Hazeh, which is Rabbanan, right? Only Bizman Hazeh, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakami Takana. In the days of... What?
I mean, it's not...
So in, what's that? In Doraisa Yontif Sheni, you need Hadar, because of what he explained about the pasuk that used to be on the board here. But in Drabbanan Yontif Sheni, why do you need Hadar? It's only a Zeicha L'mikdash. In a Zeicha, we're not so Machmir, and you don't need Hadar. And therefore, what about Yavish and Yontif Sheni? What does the Ramban think about Yavish and Yontif Sheni? Pasul B'mikdash Kosher B'gvulin. Our Mishnah is talking about the Mikdash, and the Mikdash, Lulav HaGadol and Yavish is Pasul Kapasik V'tani all 7 days. Why? Because of his whole Vard in the Pasuk. Yeah. But in Medina, in the Gvulin nowadays, Lulav Yavish is Kasher all 7 days. And then he argues with the Ravid's changing his mind and says, Ravid, you're wrong in your Pshat, but you were right in your Psak originally that Yavish is Kasher all 7 days. Bizman Hazeh. And then he gets out of all the Ravid's proofs. We didn't get to that yet. That's the next thing on the Makoros. That's the next thing in the Makoros. I don't accept your bringing in the next thing in the Makoros yet, because that's a machlokes rishonim. Whether
but he doesn't hold by that chitah.
What?
He doesn't hold by that.
Does the Ramban never says? The Ramban never weighed in on the issue of Yontif Sheni Shalgolios. You know what? The Ramban never weighed in on the issue of Yontif Sheni Shalgolios. Maybe he would think Yontif Sheni Shalgolios means Cholamoid. No problem. Or maybe he'd think that even a Yontif Sheni Shalgolios, they weren't Metakel Psulim. We'll get to that. Let me just point out, we don't have time to do what we want to do now. But, surprisingly, shocker. Let me just point out that the Ramban now opened up a tremendous, okay, give me 30 seconds, quote unquote. The Ramban opened up a tremendous inyan here, which is, what are we dealing with in our sugya? Are we dealing with the relationship between a Doraisa and a Darabanan, like Tosfos describes? How are they attacking the Darabanan this way, that way, like Rashi describes? How are they attacking the Darabanan? Well, general principles apply, but specific rules don't. Or is the Gemara here discussing, according to the Ramban, the relationship between two different Doraisas? The Doraisa of Mikdash and the Doraisa of Gvulin, Yom Rishon. So let's just end with one thing, which is, and we'll pick up with this, but I just want to end because it belongs on the chart, which is, do all the rules apply to the Mikdash 7 days? Right? Do all the rules, does the entire Pasuk apply to Mikdash Kol Zayin? You know what? Let's just put it here. Does the entire Pasuk apply to Mikdash Kol Zayin? Says the Ramban, Hadar applies, but Lachem doesn't, right? That was his whole fart, and we're talking about Mikdash. Who else said Hadar of the Pasuk applies to Mikdash and Lachem doesn't? The Ravid at first. Plus Ravid. Originally, why? Because the Ravid darshan from the Pasuk. The Ravid darshan from the pasuk that ulakachem lachem b'yom rishon. When you darshan the pasuk, you're talking about mikdash. You're not talking about zev. Meaning there are only two rishonim dealt with the pasuk explicitly, Ravid and the Ramban, and for different reasons they both ended up in the same place. That you need hadar, but not lachem. However, this is one shita. The second shita is Tosfos. All right, you know what? It's late. We'll pick up with this next time. So we just have left 3 and 4 for next time. The reason I put 3 in brackets is not because it's not interesting. It's just because I haven't figured out a way to defend the Rav yet. So now I have an extra couple days to see if I can defend him. So let's pick up with this in Mir Tashem. Next time we're going to pick up with is this issue and Joel's issue. Number one, Midah Oraisa, forget the Rabbanans. Pretend we lived before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Do all the rules of the pasuk apply to the mikdash? It's called Zion, or do they not? What's the relationship between the mikdash and the gvulin on a doraisa level? Number two, does yontif sheni means yontif sheni shel galios? Are we discussing the sveika diyoma, or does yontif sheni mean cholamoid? What's the relationship between sveika diyoma and cholamoid? We'll pick up with that next time, and we'll start the very, very challenging sugya of mitzvah v'avera. Yes, that is what I mean. Either he means cholamoid or he means yom tov sheni, but there's no sveika diyoma for this inyan zeh, for reasons
that's
that
only
I.
The Ritva said it.
No, what do you mean only Rav said? The Ritva said it.
But the Ritva didn't paskin like it.
Beseder, but the Rav paskin like it.
No,
but the Rashba paskin like it. The Ritva said it's a machloksim is two Rebbeim Ra'ah and Rashba. Let me ask you honestly. If it's a machloksim the Ra'ah and the Rashba, which way did the Rabban hold? 50-50. The Ra'ah and Rashba were equally as Talmidim. So who cares how the Ritva was machriya? Once we know in the door before the Ritva is machloksim Ra'ah and Rashba, then the Ramban is 50-50. What?
They read the Rav about Lulav.
No, the Ritva didn't have to read the Rav. The Ritva was a Rishon, so he intuitively knew the Rav. Any Rishon intuitively knew the Rav. Avraham Avinu knew the Rav from his clothes. That's what it says in the Midrash.